And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer.
Vic and Sade, it's brought to you by Ivory Flakes. Ivory Flakes, with their gentle care, your clothes will give you up to twice the wear. Ed Hurley, he can't be with us today, friends. He's ill, and the doctor has ordered him to bed. You know, I sent him a book this morning to help cheer him up. Maybe you've read it. It's called We Followed Our Hearts to Hollywood by Emily Kimbrough. It's an awfully amusing book. I remember at one point in it, Cornelia Otis Skinner and Emily Kimbrough can't believe their eyes when down a Hollywood street comes a gal in a mink skirt. I howled when I read that. And then I thought, my, what the rayon shortage has caused. Of course, rayon really isn't so scarce we're all going to be wearing mink skirts, worse luck. But it's scarce enough for us to take care of the rayon things we have when we wash them. And I mean take Ivory Flakes care. You'll get up to twice the wear. Mm-hmm. Your rayon dresses will stay bright. Your lingerie lovely. Your blouse is gay, as much as an extra season. We've tested so many things. Pajamas, sweaters, children's nice clothes. And proved they'll give up to twice the wear with Ivory Flakes care. No miracle. It's just that Ivory Flakes are so mild, so pure. They're the flake form of baby's ivory soap. I ask you, who wants to wear faded colors or things with frayed seams? Well, then never wash anything nice the wrong way with the wrong kind of soap. Always use Ivory Flakes. And your rayon stockings, too. You know, if you wash them every night in Ivory Flakes, they won't wrinkle so. And in strain tests that were made, rayon stockings washed in Ivory Flakes lasted twice as long as stockings washed with the wrong kind of soap. And for your other nice clothes, remember, with Ivory Flakes care, you'll get up to twice the wear. And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we discover Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook. Vic is established in his easy chair beneath the floor lamp with the newspaper, and Sade is seated at the library table, apparently undergoing the throes of composition. She observes,
I never knew a person could have so much trouble writing a little letter.
You answered Laura Steen's note?
I thought I might as well.
Pretty early to be declining a Thanksgiving invitation.
We were asked pretty early.
Huh? That's true.
Well, if they asked us early, I imagine they want to hear from us early. Laura Steen likes trash arranged a long time ahead.
Uh-huh. Well, November's not so far from August at that.
I guess you'll have to do this, Vic.
Why?
Oh, I'm not getting any place. Everything I write sounds rotten.
Oh.
It does.
What are all those sheets of paper in front of you?
Starts I've made, but none of them's any good.
You're probably trying to be too particular.
Well, that's just it. I feel like I gotta be particular, and so I can't write worth 2 cents. Look what I got here. Dear Robert and Laura Steen.
Is that all you got?
Yeah. Seems like I can't say what I want to say.
Well, you never had that trouble before, did you?
No, but see, I never write any letters to anybody. Bess is the only one I write to, and I never think of being careful and particular in her letters. I just start out, dear sister and all, and put down whatever comes in my head.
Well, do that in Laura Steen's letter.
Laura Steen taught grammar and English composition there in Dixon. She's terrible well educated. I don't want to give her anything to criticize.
Oh, she wouldn't criticize.
That's where you're wrong. She loves to criticize. Always did.
Well, heck, all you've got to say in your letter is, how you feeling? We're fine. Thanks for the Thanksgiving invitation. We can't come, and goodbye.
I can't even do that. Makes me so mad at myself.
I see one sheet of paper there with a lot of writing on it.
Yeah, but it sounds so dumb and funny.
Read it out loud once.
This one, you mean?
Uh-huh.
Never realized before writing a little letter could be such an aggravation.
I have difficulty with it myself once in a while.
Well, listen to how foolish this sounds.
All right.
Dear Robert and Laura Steen, thought I would answer your lovely letter. Thought you had forgotten all about us. It's been so long. Russell is fine. How did you like the different Republican and Democratic conventions? Vic is fine. I suppose Robert still likes working in Washington, D.C. It is warm here. I am still great friends with Miss Stembottom, the lady you met when you were visiting us.
That all?
Miserable and rotten.
Sounds okay to me.
Miserable and rotten.
Why?
Oh, Russell is fine, Vic is fine, I'm fine. Everything's fine. Then I go to work and ask them how they like the different Republican and Democratic conventions.
Well, you probably threw that in on a consideration for Robert working in Washington, D.C.
It don't sound like anything I'd say, though.
No, it don't.
It's warm here, I say. What's Lauristine care?
Oh, thunder, forget it.
Well, like I already told you, I don't want to give her anything to criticize.
Why don't you just make a real short little note of it?
What would I say?
It was very kind of you to invite us to Washington, D.C. We'd love to accept, but we have other plans.
Just that and nothing more?
Sure. Oh,
such a little tiny, skimpy letter would be downright rude. After all, they did invite us to come see him.
Well, it's your problem, kiddo.
Yeah, and I'm going to fix up a decent letter if it takes all night. Makes me mad to sit here and feel helpless. Goodness, if I had to write many letters, I'd... Well, Mr. Mann, how'd you get in here so quick?
I was just as noisy as I generally am. Guess you must have been engrossed in your own personal conversation. Hiya, Gov.
Hi. What's new?
I just had a very interesting chat with Smelly Clark.
I trust Smelly enjoys robust health.
Smelly feels very fit, thanks. He thoughtfully asked after your condition.
That was nice of him.
Let me give you some of the highlights of my chat with Smelly.
I believe your mother is composing a letter. She might desire silence.
No, go ahead. I've had it silent for half an hour, never got any place. Maybe a little noise would help.
Who are you writing to, Mom?
Mr. and Miss Price.
Oh, in Washington, D.C., huh?
Well, I could have written 60 letters to Bess while I've been here.
Well, that's a good beginning you read off.
Oh, looks like the only words I know are fine and lovely.
Well, that's okay. Finish her up.
My.
You ready to hear some highlights appertaining to Smelly Clark, Gov?
Yeah, whip me out a few highlights appertaining to Smelly Clark.
I walked downtown with him tonight, and he set me up to a banana split.
Huh?
One of the two-bit almond special streamline kind.
I bet it was delicious.
It was. Smelly had two of them.
Didn't he invite you to have a second one?
Of course not. He hadn't gone insane yet.
How's he getting along with the barber business?
Swell. Gov, no kidding. Smelly Clark is going great guns. He's making scads of money this vacation.
That's the truth.
Makes me wish I was out in the world.
You're not thinking of quitting school, are you?
Oh, no. But it wouldn't be hard to talk me into it. Sitting there in the Greeks tonight eating my banana split, I envied Smelly Clark or who hung the cat. Gov, a casual passerby wouldn't take that guy for 15. A casual passerby would take him for at least 20.
Well?
Or maybe even 21.
I haven't seen Smelly recently. Are there any changes in his personal appearance?
Are there? Why, doggone it. What you looking at me for, Mom?
I'm not looking at you.
You are, too. You're staring at me.
Well, I'm not even seeing you. I'm thinking. Or trying to.
How are you coming, kiddo?
Miserable.
Won't the inspiration come out?
No.
I stick to it.
I don't know where to begin.
Just say you were lovely to invite us to Washington, D.C.
I want to say it nice, though.
You ought to have one of those letter-writing books like Mildred Tisdall's got, Mom. Provides letters for all occasions. Letter from a man to a lady saying, let's get married. Letter from a lady to a man saying, I'm sorry, but I'm going to get married to another party. Letter from a man to another man saying, I'll meet you out in the country next Saturday to fight a duel. Letter from a lady to another lady saying, bring your violin over to my house and play a tune some Sunday. All like that.
Uh-huh. How'd this be? You were wonderful to ask us to spend Thanksgiving in Washington, D.C. We'd love to come, but cannot see our way clear.
Why?
Sounds stingy, don't it?
No.
Oh, I think it does.
Well, why are you making such a job out of that?
Because Miss Price used to be a very stylish grammar teacher in Dixon. I don't want her to think I'm a ninny.
Oh.
How'd I say that, Vic? You were wonderful to ask us to... Well, I know.
Where were we in our conversation, Snake Oil?
You asked me if there was any new changes in Smelly Clark's personal appearance.
I believe you said there were.
There's plenty of changes in Smelly's personal appearance.
Enumerate a few.
Well, he's letting his sideburns grow.
Yeah?
He's trying to train them so they'll cut across his cheekbones. Doing all right at it, too. And he's got a fancy vest. Gov, you ought to see that fancy vest.
What's it like?
It's made out of imitation silk, and it's checkered. And just below the watch pocket on the left side, it's got embroidery that says, Hot Stuff.
No.
Yeah. And he's got great big long pointed shoes, three sizes too large for him.
Really?
Not kidding you one bit. He gets his shoes three sizes too large on purpose, see? He figures they make him look like an older man.
I imagine they do with that.
Yeah, I expect. But there is something peculiar about them shoes. That is, they're peculiar when he walks. Guy kind of has to shuffle, you know, when he wears shoes that don't fit.
Uh-huh.
And here's what'll knock you down, Gov. Smelly's got a derby hat.
Oh.
He has. Just as sure as I'm sitting in this chair, Smelly Clark's got a derby hat.
How's he looking?
Well, I can't say it looks good, and I can't say it looks bad. Of course, he carries an ordinary cap around in his pocket.
Why?
He has to have an ordinary cap to put on when he gets around a block from home. You see, he wore his derby home the other day, and it aroused considerable criticism.
I bet it did.
In fact, some of the neighborhood kids got him down on the sidewalk and tried to make him eat his derby hat. And his father threw it up on the roof.
Listen to this now, Beth.
Sure.
Dear Robert and Laura Steen, received your lovely letter. Russell is fine. I suppose Robert still likes it in Washington, D.C. Vic is fine. The weather is warm. The Miss Stembottom you met when you were visiting here is fine. I'm glad you got to take that lovely trip. Vic is still with the Consolidated Kitchenware Company and likes it fine. Russell laughed when he read in your letter where you called him Rumpy. Ha ha. I crossed out the ha ha. You were wonderful to invite us to spend Thanksgiving in Washington, D.C. We'd love to come, but cannot see our way clear. Yours very truly, Sadie.
Fine.
Rotten.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. The first month of the Allied invasion said that our beachhead consisted of only 1% of French territory. Of course, since then, we've gone ahead, but we've still got a plenty long, bitter fight that we've got to win. And we can't afford to let rosy optimism slow us down on any of our war jobs here on the home front. And yet, in recent weeks, there has been a slowing down on one important job, the saving and turning in of used kitchen fat. Now, more than ever, used fat is urgently needed. Needed for life-saving medicine for our fighting men. Needed for ammunition and for hundreds of important industrial uses. Won't you join fully in this essential work? Every day, save all used fat from your broiler, your frying pan, and roasting pans. Turn it in regularly to your butcher. For every pound, you'll receive 4 cents and 2 red points. More important still, you'll be helping fight and win this war.
Again tomorrow, join in the fun with Vic and Sage. Same time, same station. This is Margaret MacDonald saying good day for Ivory Flakes.
It's patriotic to help your grocer save paper bags and cardboard. Take your own shopping bag to the store. This is the National Broadcasting Company.